We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, wrestling fans. It is Monday, January 6th, and we just finished watching Raw Old School, and it's time for the Monday Night Raw post-show. Go Zolts. I have no idea how we're going to do an old-school gimmick. I put a shift what we thought of that. But at least we played the old-school Raw music at the beginning of the show rather than just three-quarters of the way through it. At least we got that production note right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the NPR Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. I'm the host, Mike Payton. With me tonight, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
Hey, man. Not much is shaking. Tonight was one of those very meh shows, I felt. It wasn't bad, just... I'm just kind of left feeling meh, but we'll see what comes of it.
Oh, that's too bad. Mr. Sean, how did you feel? I'm sorry, I didn't even introduce you. Sean Walker is with us as well tonight, folks. Sean, how did you feel about tonight's show?
It's the same. I thought it was just a generic Raw with just a bunch of old dudes.
You know, and just as an overall, I'm going to say that I pretty much agree with you guys. I don't think they went as far with this gimmick as I feel they should have. I feel the only segment that really felt like we got into an old school feel was the one with Too Cool. Everything else was just like, oh, hey, there's an old guy, and oh, this is Biggie Langston, okay.
I'd say this is definitely the weakest of the three old-school Raws. Obviously, the first one was the best, the second one felt a little bit short, and tonight was probably the worst.
Yeah, I could tend to agree with that. All right, guys, so we're going to start digging into it here, but let's talk about our last segment first, because that's the one that's freshest in our mind. All through the night, they were building up to our main event, which was CM Punk against Roman Reigns, the final member of the Shield for him to face in singles action. Faced Dean Ambrose, CM Punk won. Faced Seth Rollins, CM Punk won. This week, it was one-on-one with Roman Reigns, and throughout the night, especially during the Piper's Pit segment, they kept talking about if Roman Reigns wins this match, that means that he's better than the Shield. Well, would that happen? With a little bit of outside influence, yes. Roman Reigns finally topples over CM Punk. The Shield can finally celebrate a victory. However, they weren't able to celebrate for long because, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, who should come out to save CM Punk? Jake the Snake Roberts, people. Jake the Snake making a big, big return to WWE. But you know what? It didn't feel so big. Honestly, Jake the Snake comes out there. He has a snake. He doesn't do a DDT. Reasons I can't imagine, but he does pull a snake out. He kind of just gently taps Dean Ambrose's face with it. The crowd doesn't care, and then Raw goes off. He almost kissed the snake at some point too.
Talk about poor segment placing. That's all I'm gonna say. It's wrong place, wrong time, and to an already burnt out audience.
Well, I gotta say, I think closing the show with the return of Jake the Snake is not necessarily a bad idea. That was probably the biggest event of the show. It just wasn't. I don't know. I don't know how you would have done it better. I mean, I think that it's such a big thing. It's like, holy crap, Jake the Snake Roberts is back. I mean, they did the same thing with Brock Lesnar. Could you say Jake the Snake is the same thing as a Brock Lesnar, though? I don't know. I guess that's subjective.
Well, here's the thing. Brock Lesnar can draw a million boys pretty much any organization he goes to. Jake's never had that drawing ability.
I don't know. Sean, how are you feel about Jake the Snake being back here? And do you think that this is just going to be something that we see tonight? Do you think Jake is going to have some kind of consistent involvement?
Well, it's rumored that he's supposed to be in the Royal Rumble, according to scoopscoopscoops.com. So, we'll wait and see.
Do you feel that Jake the Snake could be a candidate for this year's Hall of Fame?
I don't see why not. He's the inventor of the DDT.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not chuck him in?
Steven, also on the show tonight, we, of course, saw Diamond Dallas Page. Of course, they have a great relationship going on between Diamond Dallas Page, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Scott Hall. We didn't get to see Scott Hall tonight. Do you think he may be in the fray sometime in the future?
As far as Scott Hall goes, I think he's one of those guys where Jake's a bit more of a solid bet, but he's doing okay. Scott's one of those guys that fall off the wagon a lot more. He's got a worse track record, to my knowledge. Once they've got a bit more security with how Scott's doing, maybe. But right now, I don't see it happening.
Hmm. What about this match that we had between CM Punk and Roman Reigns?
As far as the match goes, I felt it did a great job of elevating Reigns on CM Punk's level, made him look like a legit main eventer. But at the same time, what it did is expose that Reigns is still green in a lot of areas. This match felt like it went stagnant in certain parts of it and then picked up towards the end and obviously started strong. What I think needs to come from this is Reigns needs to be put in more singles matches with, say, a CM Punk on house shows, maybe a couple of other faces, where he can start working longer singles matches so he can develop a little more, because it felt as CM Punk was carrying him through this whole match, as good as it was. But it was good to see Reigns look strong. I wish he'd actually won clean, to be honest, but overall, it was a good match tonight.
What did you think about the match, Sean?
I preferred last week's match with Seth Rollins.
Ugh. You like the battle of the dirtbags?
I'm just saying. You know, Seth Rollins deserved the win last week. I'm just saying.
I could barely see the match. Because, you know, like in Peanuts, or like the Charlie Brown cartoons, they always have that one character, Pigpen. And whenever Pigpen is running around, there's always like that just cloud of dirt around him. That's what I saw in the ring when CM Punk and Seth Rollins were in the wrestling. I just saw a big cloud of dirt. It just fogged my view. I couldn't tell anything going on.
Well, according to AJ Styles, Kurt Angle used to call Chris Sabin Pigpen. I could see that.
But yeah, the match was pretty solid. I enjoyed the New Age Outlaws introducing CM Punk.
Oh, I didn't even mention that. That's correct.
That was awesome.
New Age Outlaws, not just being introducing CM Punk, but the New Age Outlaws themselves were introduced by Mean Gene Okerlund. Mean Gene coming out for a nice brief appearance and pulling out one of my favorite catchphrases of his, telling us to call his hotline.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Any of you guys ever actually call one of those hotlines?
No, because I've got common sense and I don't want to spend all my money. Plus, I wouldn't have been able to being back in the UK anyway.
I guess that's true for both of you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't get into the numbers, but I did get very hooked into the AOL chat rooms of the pack back in the day. Maybe they should have pulled those back. They should have had like the social room where they have like the person like Shawn Michaels trying to play with the keyboard but having no idea what he's doing.
Maybe you can just go and kick Stan again. That was an awesome segment.
So let's talk about some of the other returns that we had tonight. We had Too Cool, all three members, Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty, and Grandmaster Sexay, coming out for a 6-man tag against the 3-man band. Of course, Too Cool won, but it doesn't matter. No one really wanted 3-man band to win, and no one's going to be complaining 3-man band is being buried. So why not put him out there and have a little fun match with Too Cool? We got to see pretty much all of our favorite moves. We got to see a worm with the crowd absolutely loved. Grandmaster Sexay did that thing where he put his goggles on and did the leg drop. And Rikishi got to do a butt drop. He didn't get to do the stink face, which I'm not, regretful for. I'm fine.
I am. I wanted the fung wearing fatty for Rikishi. I wanted to see him do the stink face. That's the whole point of having him out there.
Nah, man. The point is to dance. It's a dance. Yeah. Do you remember the first time that Too Cool and Rikishi face to face and they got him to dance?
I don't actually remember the initial segment where that all started, but I am a huge mark for Too Cool, so it was awesome seeing him back tonight.
It was almost very akin to the Tensai segment where they had him come out with the cross-dressing thing. I mean, Rikishi didn't come out cross-dressed, but originally he was meant to be this really tough, brutish Samoan character, but then somehow he just ended up in the ring with Too Cool, and they were like begging, no, don't hurt us. Why don't you dance with us instead? And then they put the sunglasses on him, and he looks around at the crowd. He's like, well, okay. And he danced with them, and it just got over because it was the freaking Attitude Era, and anything could freaking get over, and they became stars.
I remember when he actually became a babyface. It was, he just had a feud with Viscera, and I think that's what kickstarted it, if I remember. It was back in 98 or 99.
Sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
Brutish feud with Viscera. Yeah, that sounds pleasant.
Yeah, it was the match wasn't too good.
You don't say. Well, what about tonight's match between 3 Band and Too Cool?
I thought it was actually a really good match, and I'm going to go ahead and say until, I don't know, because of me being such a mark for Too Cool, I almost put it as my match of the night. Almost. Little disappointed that I didn't get to see the stink face. I'm just a mark for Rikishi back in the day doing that. So other than that, it was good. And I tell you what, 3MB looked good tonight as well. They worked the heat pretty well.
Especially Drew. Drew kicked ass in there.
Yeah. He really should be single, like put with a singles gimmick already and pushed, but that's another conversation for another time. As far as Scotty Too Hotty and Grandmaster Sexy, both of those two look good as well. Haven't missed a beat, so yeah, all around it was awesome. It was fun, and the crowd was into it, so that was the most important thing. Because when you have these legends come back, what I always worry about is, are they just going to get silence because no one remembers them? And Too Cool got it. They got the chance, and it was awesome.
Brian the Brain saying, who cares about all these other jokes, sex wrestlers? All that matters is Jake the Snake. Oh, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think we had a lot of fun on their return today. At least Too Cool. You got to say it was fun. Sean, what did you think about Too Cool's return tonight, and how'd you like the match of them between them and Three Man Band?
I love Too Cool. They were my favorite tag team.
Did you spell out the worm when he went to do it?
Oh, but I think everybody did.
He's not wrong.
Come on. Come on, Peyton. Admit it, you did it.
No,
well.
I had company over. I did it in my head. Yeah, I'm not going to die into it. I was like, Oh, no, it was just the TV.
But yeah, Scotty Too Hotty looks great, man.
He did, except for without the hair. He's just not Scotty Too Hotty without the hair. But man, is Grandmaster Sexy looking like his dad now or what?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Shemmy botched the hip-hop drop. That looked kind of crappy tonight.
Well, maybe the goggles were obscuring his view.
No excuse. He used to do it all the time with the goggles. He let me down. Yeah. It was almost perfect other than that.
All right, guys. Let's open up the phone line. So just anyone else who's listening, if you want to call in, area code 760-512-7247 is the phone line. You can also join us by clicking on the Skype icon. It'll open up your Skype program and call in with that. And we also have the chat room open at the bottom of the broadcast page. You can scroll down there. We got a couple people in there holding it down. We're going to bring someone on right now that's on the phone line. Been waiting patiently. We appreciate it. Caller from the 412 area code, if I got this correctly, I believe this is JD from Pittsburgh. Is that correct?
Yeah, guys. Happy New Year. What's going on?
Happy New Year, dude. It's good to see the first Raw of the New Year. And, of course, makes a lot of sense with a new year to go old school. JD, how'd you enjoy our trip to the past tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. When Jake the Snake came out, I was like, holy shit, my jaw hit the floor. And I'm like thinking, no, that, and I was like, cool. It's like Mark, and I'm thinking, no, that can't be who I think it is. I mean, you think about it, though. I mean, Jake the Snake, I mean, the last time he showed up in Baltimore was when he showed up in WCW, if you remember. I mean, that was the night whenever I think it was Sting, and I forget who else, however. And that's when they started the Sting, Jake the Snake feud, if you remember, the culminating in Halloween Havoc that year in Philadelphia in the coal miners match. But it was an interesting show. I mean, we didn't see Dusty Rhodes, obviously, tonight, Howard, which was a surprise, Howard, because I thought Dusty would come out and dance with Too Cool a little bit. But there were some funny moments about the show, however. I mean, you had, obviously, freaking Cole look like wearing the mustard suit, which was ugly as hell. And then, of course, JBL wearing the Ron Burgundy ketchup suit, if you will. And, of course, King wasn't there, of course, because of the bout with the flu, apparently, they said, because he wasn't feeling too well earlier in the day, and they had to take him to the hospital and that. But a few things that surprised me tonight, however, I mean, the whole Brock Lesnar Big Show thing, it looks like they're setting that up now for the Rumble in a few weeks here in my hometown, obviously, if Henry can't go, and then probably putting Henry on the back burner for now. I mean, I just couldn't believe how Big Show chucked Lesnar like that. That was just amazing. But all in all, it was a pretty good show. I mean, I think the best match of the night, however, was the tag match with the Rose Boys against the Royal Americans. The main event was good, too, except for the finish, however. But there were some things I wasn't really impressed on. I mean, yeah, the funny segment in the back, however, when you had freaking Big E came out and you had Nikolai Volkoff show up and Ted DiBiase and Mike Rotundo show up, that was pretty, a little funny. But I think the worst match of the night, however, was actually the opener and also the great Khali match. I mean, 2 minutes of a Khali boring match with Sergeant Star, I mean, come on, that was just dumb as can be. But I don't think this whole Daniel Bryan Wyatt thing is going to work out, if you ask me. I thought it was going to be a good match going in to start the show, especially after what happened with Flair and Orton's promo, but they gave it 8 minutes, which was okay. But like I said, I just don't think Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts are going to work out, and it won't be long before you see Daniel Bryan siding back on the good side. I think it's going to be only lasting a few weeks from what I'm hearing, you know?
No, I still think they could have handled it better this week than just having him go out there and lose to a bunch of jabronis. I don't think that was a great way to start this whole thing off. I hope this does extend further. I think that, especially now that they're talking more about Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt teaming up together, that we could see what the dynamic is between those two, see where they can build off of that. I think there's potential for this group. And when I saw them walking out together, I think it really clicked. I think it looked good. So I think they can stretch this out. Because what else are you gonna do with Daniel Bryan? The only thing that people are talking about putting him there with Undertaker. No way.
There is talk though that they might do Cena and Bray Wyatt versus Hogan and Cena at WrestleMania in April. No. I just cannot see that happening, especially at Hogan's age, 60 years old. Why would you want to put Hogan back in a match like that when he'll do very little work?
Nobody's thinking of doing that. Nobody's thinking that's just scoop scuttlebutt.
What about Batista and Brock Lesnar? Can you see that maybe happening and changing into a triple threat, maybe possibly at WrestleMania, if, in fact, what happens? You see maybe Orton retain, however, and then you could see maybe Orton, Batista, and Lesnar go out at WrestleMania in April. Could you see that happening?
A triple threat? That's an interesting proposal. Let me ask you guys first. Steven, you think they could do a triple threat with Orton, Batista, and Lesnar?
Sorry, my mic just cut out for a second there, but Orton, Batista, and Lesnar.
Yeah, triple threat. Do you think they would possibly try that?
I don't think they would try it. I wouldn't be against it though, just because every time you try and make a WrestleMania card, there's always someone left out. So I think a triple threat match actually might resolve that issue. I'd actually be for it. I wouldn't want to see it as the main event, and I always want the title in the main event because I just think it's going to be an abysmal match. I wouldn't mind it if it was kept to about 15 minutes and was not the main event. But if it's the main event, I think it's just going to stink up the joint. It's going to just leave the show flat. I wouldn't want it. I just think it's going to be, if not a bad match, just an average match.
Sean, how about you? Would you have any, would you be excited for a triple threat match between those guys?
Yeah, why not? Give it a bash, like now. Has Brock Lesnar ever versus Batista in the ring? I don't think he has. He hasn't versus Randy Orton in the ring.
I cannot think they have.
I don't think so. I don't believe he has.
Only time Randy and Brock's gone at it is in LVW, so it'd be really interesting to see him go at it now.
Brian the Brain suggesting, how about a four threat Cena, Orton, Batista list?
What do you think about it though too? I mean Lesnar's gonna be Lesnar's there for the next 2 years, and obviously the Elimination Chamber's in February in Minneapolis, and of course that they could set it up right then and there, you know, for the Elimination Chamber, and then you got that like 5 week build up window going into New Orleans, which I will be at, by the way, and of course I'll be at the Rumble of Pittsburgh. But all in all, I gotta say, like I said, it was an interesting beginning of the show. However, I'm glad once again we didn't have the Authority there tonight. Obviously I'm hoping they're starting to steer away from that more and more, but now they're trying to set up something with Kane and Maddox. I'm sorry. They've got to get rid of the whole GM Authority figure, if you ask me. It's just not working.
Well, I think there should always be an Authority figure, and if they want to call it the GM, that's fine. But what's the use of having a GM when you have a CEO and you have the daughter of the CEO and you have whatever the heck Triple H is these days, and you have a director of operations in Kane, and Vicky Guerrero apparently still has power sometimes, and Teddy Long apparently still can come out and make matches too. How many people do you need making matches?
25.
Yeah, right. Well, I did hear what you guys were talking about, Jake, earlier, and I'm going to get my last point in before over. There is talk. I did hear he is coming back. He has been working a lot, however, and I just don't know what you do with him now. I mean, as far as going in the Hall of Fame, I think he goes in this year. I mean, he started in Mid-South. It would make sense, however, and I think if he looked tonight, if he keeps his attitude and really not get his demons get the better of him again, I think this is the year he has to say to Vince, or at least maybe he asked Vince, can I finally be accepted to the Hall of Fame? And hopefully Vince will be a nod and say, yeah, you deserve it after all this time. I mean, you finally cleaned up your image, and after your skeleton's been in the closet for so long, I think we're going to accept you now.
Do you think it was a smart choice having that be the closing image of the show, having Jake the Snake shock the crowd coming out and...
Like I said, I mean, they did it once before in Baltimore. I was a little surprised at that originally because I thought it would be the American Dream, maybe, possibly. But at the same time, I imagine they had a tough time with Dusty getting into town because of the weather and everything like that. But no, I think they could have saved Jake's appearance for the Rumble. I think they kind of teased it a little too soon, but it'll be interesting to see where they go from here, obviously on SmackDown tomorrow night in Philadelphia, and if they'll talk about it later in the week, you know. But I'm sure that's going to be one of the few items besides the Shield. I do think you're going to see the Shield split up in time. I do think you're setting up a Shield split up eventually. The question is, do you do it before Mania or after Mania right now? Where do you go?
I think that's got to be the Mania match. That's where your triple threat is. Those three guys against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like how we had the legacy thing. And those guys have worked together so long, they know each other's moveset. That's got the potential to be match of the year.
The only reason that should not be your WrestleMania match is if you're keeping the Shield together and you're going to do it next year. That's the only reason.
Yeah, and how, and you think about it, the longest guy they have champion right now is obviously Dean Ambrose. But the thing is, talking about the Shield, when's he going to defend against somebody for the U.S. title? I mean, he's had that title since last May. He hasn't defended against hardly anybody
who's,
since
who's
last
a contender
May,
for it?
You know? Yeah, they got to have someone step up.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They have someone to step up for it, you know? It would make sense. I mean, I hate to say someone like, I mean, it's like the old WCW hardcore title, you know? I mean, he's holding for a nice long reign, but at the same time, they got to have someone that's worthy of it, you know? The question is, who's worthy, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, JD, so let me ask you, what was your high point of tonight's Raw and your low point of tonight's Raw?
The high point I would have to say probably would have to be, like I said, however, I thought that the tag match with the Rhodes Boys against the Real Americans was pretty good. I do think every time you have those four in the ring, they do pretty well with each other. I mean, I'm tired of the whole we the people thing. I think that was definitely the high point. The low point tonight for me, however, oddly enough, however, I would have to say was maybe the Kali Sandow Sergeant Star match. I mean, that was just 2 minutes of utter stupidity. They could have had it on like before the show even took place. That was kind of a low end. So I don't know, on the 10 scale, I'm going to give Raw tonight about a 7.5 out of 10.
That's a fair pass.
Yeah,
I think
pass,
everyone.
We'll see what happens next week.
I think it's you got to at least have had fun tonight. And maybe if you're going to be, I hate to use the term, but if you're going to be smarky about it, you can find a lot of things to be upset about. But if you just kind of like, I had friends over that are not the biggest wrestling fans in the world. They just kind of watch it because it's some fun thing to watch on the TV. And they had a blast tonight. They got to see Sergeant Slaughter. They've been watching a lot of G.I. Joe lately, actually. So for Sergeant Slaughter to pop out was a huge thing for them to get excited about. So, yeah, I think...
It's going to be interesting to see what the ratings are, though, because they're going up against the national championship tonight, too. That's the thing. That's the big thing. They're going to have to go... They're going up against the national title game, which last I heard, I think... Auburn was still winning, I believe. I don't know if you guys heard any updates about the game. Or,
you're
I think
asking
they were winning
the wrong
last I heard,
guys.
Yeah, I'm a UK sport, man.
I know.
Yeah.
But, all right, guys. So I just want to get my 2 cents in. You guys have a good rest of the night.
Thank you, JD. Have a good night, dude. All right, we appreciate JD from Pittsburgh calling in. Of course, if you're listening and you would like to also call in, once again, that phone number is area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype or in the chat room that we have running right now. They did not show the big swing tonight on Raw. As a matter of fact, if you wanted to watch the big swing during Antonio Cesaro's match, and I'm answering a question from Brian Brain in the chat room, that was kind of awkward if you're just listening. He asked if they showed the big swing on, and no, they showed the big swing on the WWE app. So yes,
because what,
you had to show the WWE app.
Why would you put the guy's most over move on television where everyone could see it? That makes sense.
That was almost the lowest use of promotion for the WWE app tonight.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
very
horrible.
Early in the show, of course, the Scoops websites were running rampant with the story that Jerry the King Lawler was hospitalized. I believe they were talking about him having vomiting and chest pains. And of course, with the history of him having a heart attack live on Raw, a lot of people are, of course, getting very scared and probably making this more dramatic than it actually was. I guess we'll never know the true story. But with the beginning of the show, they said, if you want to know about Jerry the Lawler's condition, we will have the info on the WWE app. And I'm like, really? Really? And then finally, like a couple commercial breaks later, they said, Jerry Lawler's fine. He's in the back. We had a little scare. He went to the hospital, but he's back now. He's cool. He's just, you know, taking it easy.
Yeah, I think the reason they did that is because everyone was retweeting how horrible it was that they promoted their app with that. It probably got back to them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Set off the red alarm and red light and the alarm sirens went and they was like, oh shit, they're angry. Because, and rightfully so. I mean, that was a dirty, dirty move, but... Hey, it's the WWE. They don't really have limits on how they go about promoting.
Yeah, well, I have an iPhone. I have the WWE app. I used it to vote tonight. Other than that, unless it's a poll I really want to vote for, I never even look at it. Never use it. I don't use it as a news source. I don't use it to look at clips. I don't use it for Jack. Are either of you guys WWE app-abled?
Nope. I used it once for the awards on that set. Who did you vote for, by the way?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Can't tell you, then it won't come true.
So, what?
I voted for Bob Backlund.
Oh, thank fuck. if you had have not voted for Bob Backlund, I'd be very disappointed in you.
Well, I gotta be honest, it was a tough choice. I liked them all.
Yeah, but Bob Backlund had the most chance of just going, like, fucking apeshit and totally doing something WWE didn't want him to
do. It's more that the other two guys I'm kind of burnt out on. We see them all the time. They're always the guys that they scoop up for these kinds of shows. Bob Backlund, he's been around there a couple times at this point, but he's still a little fresh.
To be fair, Arn's a bit of a novelty. I mean, you don't see him too much.
No.
So... Slaughter was the one that I just didn't want to see, so of course that's the fucking one.
He's the one that won with an overwhelming vote. I think it was like 54%.
Yeah. If you voted for Sergeant Slaughter, go fuck yourself.
Sorry, just answering a question in the chat room there. So that was another... I'm trying to think of some of the other returns we had tonight. Oh, there was this really brief segment of Biggie Langston walking through... You know they always do those segments on Raw. The terrible white guy metal music playing while someone's walking in the ring. Doing that for Big E. And just because it's old school Raw, he just has to walk past a variety of old people. First, he encounters Nikolai Volkov, who is singing the Russian national anthem, which, you know, that's fun, cheesy little thing. He might be standing around just doing that randomly. That could be funny. Then he comes across the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. And all we see is him standing there talking to Oksana. Ted DiBiase gets this big grin on his face and says, everybody's got a price for the million-dollar man. And at first I was thinking, like, that's so random and forced. He's not doing anything. Oh, Oksana's there.
And the best of it is, isn't he like some type of fucking vicar or priest now? I don't know what he's doing.
He's
but...
like a born-again Christian, yeah. He's written books about being a Catholic and all that. He's pretty tight on it. I don't know if that was really
apparently
their intention.
Not too tight to pay for
I really don't think that was their intention, but man, that connected for me, and ever since I made that connection in my brain, I cannot separate from it. That's what that was insinuating as far as I'm concerned.
Oksana
now.
Oksana is a hooker.
Well, she had to be doing something to be getting this push she's getting lately. Then the next person he encounters is IRS, who's saying, make sure you pay your taxes. Pretty forced as well, and I think a little bit of a misuse for these guys. I think you could have done something a little more fun with them.
I don't know what you would do with them.
Write a backstage segment that actually has them doing a skit with each other.
Yeah, but every time that happens, Santino's in it, and it's not funny.
Well, maybe that's Santino's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, they should fire Santino. Fuck Santino.
But who could be the new funny guy if Santino is gone?
How about that guy that he's been feuding... He was doing that singing skit on NXT.
Adrian Brody. Not Adrian Brody.
Zack Ryder?
No.
No.
The only thing funny about Zack Ryder is where his career's gone.
No, not Brodus Clay. Fuck, why can't I remember his name? Not Adrian.
You know who I'm on about, yeah. Right? He was doing the singing skit with... I can't remember any of
them. I was just watching him on NXT this week. He had a sing-off with Colin Cassidy. Not Colin Cassidy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Colin Cassidy.
Well, it was against Colin Cassidy, but the guy's name isn't Colin Cassidy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. See, this is what WWE is doing. They're fucking giving them these shit-ass names in NXT,
never,
and I can't remember.
Never get the people in NXT's names right. And, like, I know them all by faces. I can tell you, like, matches I've seen. I was like, yeah, that guy who had that match with that guy, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's like Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville are the only two that stick out because they're really fucking good.
And Paige, because she's really hot.
Yeah.
And Corey Graves, because he's just awesome.
He kind of looks like a meth dealer.
That's why he's awesome, man.
What is it with you and wrestlers that look like meth dealers?
What can I say? I got a secret habit.
That's okay. I just breaking. Like wrestlers that were chiseled from stone, like Roman Reigns.
You're going to have them calling into the show again.
Oh, and of course, there's one big return that we didn't even talk about. At the very beginning of the show, we start off with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, starting us off. He eventually gets interrupted by Randy Orton. Orton starts telling Ric Flair to leave because he's an old timer and he was overrated, blah, 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 blah. John Cena eventually comes out for the save. Orton backs down from the fight and nothing really happened. That was our exposure for John Cena and Randy Orton for the night.
And that's why you forgot that big return, because it didn't fucking matter.
Yeah, it's really sad. Like I said, I think we pretty much covered all the returns we had tonight for old
other
school.
Other than Godfather for the Bad News Barrett segment.
Oh, so that wasn't even anything. Not for Godfather, for Bad News Barrett it was. So yeah, let's talk about this. They parade all the old timers out. They do the one at a time introductions, kind of like they do when they do the Hall of Fame. And just as they're finishing up, who should interrupt but Bad News Barrett for what I think just might have been the best Bad News Barrett yet, all because the truth cut so deep.
It was up there. I'd say second place.
What would you say first?
The fucking, was it the New Year's or the Christmas dinner one, which was really, really fucking funny?
Oh, the Thanksgiving one?
Yeah, that was it. Fucking, I can't remember.
You'll be constipated!
Yeah, that was the best one. This one was nice, but the one before that was better.
Especially because I think that was the first one, and it just smacked you in the face with its ridiculousness.
But, yeah, that was a good one. And tonight was really good. He was on point, and I know a lot of people are just jumping on the bandwagon that Bad News Barrett sucks, but I think you have to just take them one at a time. Sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're really bad. It just is what it is. And tonight, they did well. It was funny. The flea market shit, hilarious.
And like I said, the truth will cut deep in that one, because really, if you look around your local circulars, or if you look at the telephone poles at your busy intersections, all the names that they had out there were pretty much the same names you will see placed on those things, the signs and the advertisements.
Except Virgil will be sitting outside those signs with a table and chair.
If Virgil's the guy that they dress up in like a costume to wave the sign around to try to gain attention.
Yeah, have him spin one of those signs like they do for the
buy
like
gold
the...
now or sell your gold
yeah,
now.
That shit.
The best defense is offense.
Oh wow, yeah.
Oh, that was cool.
Oh my goodness. All right, so let's just keep running down the show here. From the top to the bottom for the things we didn't get. JBL and Cole are shown to us at the beginning in their canary yellow and Ron Burgundy red jackets, as they've become to be known throughout the night. JBL's hair had this ridiculous, like, he always has an enormous amount of hairspray in his hair, but tonight, holy crap. I don't know who they got onto that, but when he had the giant shoulder pads as well.
He went all
I
out,
couldn't
man.
Tell what it was with his tie. Was it foxes or was it polo horses?
I have no idea.
I was too busy looking at
his
hair.
As JBL would say, these guys look like goofs.
Look like Vince.
It's funny because a friend of the show, Ed Stilch, was just showing me a video of Vince McMahon interviewing Captain Lou Albano from old, old days. And Vince McMahon was wearing one of those canary yellow jackets. I wouldn't be surprised if they dug out of the closet and grabbed that very same one, gave it to Michael Cole, said, here, go out wearing this. So our first match of the evening, we had Daniel Bryan's first appearance as a Wyatt member. They're actually calling him Daniel Wyatt. It was a six-man tag. Went out there with Luke Harper, Eric Rowan to go against the Usos, and Rey Mysterio. If you didn't get to see the photo that we posted and broke the news on the NPR Raw Post Show Facebook page, then you got to see Daniel Bryan for the first time tonight in his navy blue version of Eric Rowan's wedgie suit, and does not look very good on him, I got to say. I think my favorite thing I saw going around the internet was they photoshopped a giant monkey wrench on him and said, where's the leak, ma'am? That's exactly what he looked like. But
I do like the dig the dumpster ones, too. They're pretty funny.
So the thing that upset me most about this match, though, the Wyatt's lost.
Yeah, that was fucking
what the
stupid.
Crap. Like, you make this huge, huge ending the last night. People are freaking out. It's one of the most controversial things you've done since, I guess, Daniel Bryan getting Money in the Bank cashed in on him. And the next week, you just have this group be pinned. Now, I was very upset about this at first. Later on in the night, I think they redeemed themselves a little bit. They had Daniel Bryan in the back giving the speech saying, listen, you know, I know I'm new here, but you should let me I have a lot of things I can offer you guys. Let me teach, too. Let me help you guys. And he was like, let me team with you, Harper, or team with you, Rowan. Bray Wyatt comes in and says, no, Daniel Bryan, you're going to be teaming with me. Was that a good Bray Wyatt impression?
It was more like along the lines of, that won't be necessary, you know, teaming with me. And it was a bit more malicious and evil. You kind of just sounded a bit camp.
Okay. Okay, I could dig that. Yeah, other than that, there's nothing really noteworthy to say to this match.
I'm just really disappointed how they booked this. Honestly, I would have liked a awkward and somewhat reluctant Daniel Bryan fitting into the role slowly. I would have liked to have seen him not get tagged into this match at all until the end, and then put, like, unleash a vicious attack and get the win for the team. I did not like them losing, but I'm going to see where it goes. I'm going to give it a chance and just pray it doesn't end up like the Nexus storyline or like the CM Punk storyline where I've given it a chance and it's blew up in my face.
Now, Sean, I believe earlier you said that this is going to be very, very short term. So now that Daniel Bryan's going to team with Bray Wyatt, where do you see it going after that?
6 feet under. To be fair, this is just bullshit at its finest. To be fair, he was so over. I know you just chuck him back into a tag team.
I don't know if it's going to be a permanent tag team. I think it's more of a one-time match for Daniel Bryan to prove himself that he really does have something to offer. Because at least in this match, it wasn't Daniel Bryan who was pinned. I believe it was Eric Rowan.
Yeah,
he's the only one who actually wrestled.
Wasn't it by WWE's favorite finish, the roll-up?
Yeah, it was by WWE's favorite finish, the roll-up, yes. So, well, so we got a nice big head-on view of his wedgie.
Well, Dolph Ziggler isn't on the show, so I guess they can use his finisher.
He's gracious. So we get a backstage bit. We have Brad Maddox informing Sandow that he and Kali are going to be having a rematch later on that night with three choices to be picked by the WWE app. Eventually, he is interrupted by Kane, who informs him that he did not appreciate a lot of the words that Brad Maddox was saying last week about how he's doing a better job than Kane. And pretty much told him, if you ever say that again, no matter what, he's going to destroy him. And of course, he said it much more eloquently than Kane can do. I'll bring the monster back out, blah, 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 blah. What are we going to have, a freaking Kane-Brad Maddox match at Royal Rumble? Is this what we're hinting towards?
It'd be funny if they did get Braddock in the fucking Rumble for himself and just to beat the shit out of him, because I can't stand the fucking guy. I suppose that's what WWE's trying to accomplish. I generally just don't like Brad Maddox. WWE's done a good job of making him some snivelly little heel, so I wouldn't mind seeing Kane beat the piss out of him.
Sean, do you have any interest in the match about that?
Well, the best thing about the segment was when Kane called him Bradley. Oh, that was it. Bradley boy.
Oh, my goodness. So we come out, we see Ryback is going to be guesting on commentary for our next match, and my goodness, okay. The first thing that Ryback decides to say when they cut over to him, sorry, my voice is a little hoarse. I've been hanging out with Lillian Garcia. Really? Be a star, huh?
Well, to be fair, he is the bully gimmick.
Be a star! I'm feeling a little hoarse, hanging out with Lillian Garcia.
He gets a pass. Though he totally got those lines fed to him by Vince.
Did, like, Triple H get in trouble for a similar joke like that?
Yeah. To be fair, it wasn't as bad as when John Cena fucking had brought out another commentator because he said that Lillian Garcia can't do her job right on a show.
Goodness. So the match that he was out there to commentate for was Big E Langston against Curtis Axel. Really short match. Curtis, you've dropped so far. Big E Langston getting a quick pin with the big ending.
I really don't like that finisher.
I really don't like it either.
Neither do I. Even my wife, who's like, she's a wrestling fan, but she's not being long term. She even looked at it and went, how is that meant to hurt the guy?
It's not. I would imagine it hurts Big E's shoulder more than anything.
Yeah, Big E's taking a back bump. I don't know how it's fucking meant to hurt the other guy. He gets a soft landing on Big E's bouncy pecs.
Goodness gracious. this is a legend segment that we didn't remember to talk about. Piper's Pit. We had the Shield come out. Roddy Piper invites out all three members of the Shield. It was okay, I guess. They antagonized Roddy Piper, saying Dean Ambrose is a better United States champion than Roddy Piper ever will be. Eventually, it leads to Piper antagonizing Roman Reigns, saying, what if you win tonight? Will that make you better than the rest of the Shield? Would that mean that there's a crack in the Shield?
The only fucking crack in the Shield is the one that Seth Rollins is smoking behind a dumpster.
The Shield starts preparing to attack Piper, but who the heck were they saved by? Someone random.
CM Punk and
the New Age Outlaws.
The New Age Outlaws. Yeah.
This segment was fucking bad. I hate this shit where they're trying to be so fucking obvious about Reigns turning.
It's really being beat overhead way too much. And honestly, at this point, I hope it's just a fucking ruse. And the Shield is actually just going to be sticking together. Nothing's changing.
It's going to be a 180 and Ambrose is going to turn face.
You know, the best part about this segment is after he antagonized and pinched Reigns' cheek, Reigns got in his face and is like, if you touch me again, I'm going to beat the piss out of you. I was like, can you just not say to do it? I don't know. I know there's a lot of Roddy Piper fans, but in his age, he's got fucking abysmal to watch.
I never really liked him that much.
He was horrible in the segment.
I don't understand why he's credited as one of the greatest of all time. It's like, yeah, without Piper, there wouldn't be Hogan, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know about that.
I think you could have fit anyone in that slot against Hogan and it would have worked. Piper is good. Well, better than good, but I don't think he deserves the chops that he gets.
I liked him in Hell Comes to Frogtown. Sean, are you a Piper's fan? Piper fan? Did you enjoy this segment of Piper's Pit?
Nope. Just give him a coconut and I'll be happy.
He's a one-trick pony. Just hits people over the head with coconuts or Cyndi Lauper records.
They should just have that for Piper's gimmick. Like, just out of context, he just walks around with a coconut, beats the piss out of people every time there's a bet. You know how we had the whole range spearing people with bad segments? That can be his thing with coconuts.
It could probably get over.
Probably.
We had a match between the Real Americans and the Brotherhood. I tuned out. I don't even know who won this. I'm assuming it was the Brotherhood.
Yes, and it was actually a good match. I think the reason that I and many of us tuned out during this is that we need more tag teams. It was a real strong division for a while, but we've seen every matchup now, and it's all stagnant, it's all boring, yet they don't want to bring in a team like the American Wolves. They're hesitant to bring up the Ascension. We need more tag teams.
Steven, that's deep, and I think that's really cool that you're bringing that up, but I'm going to disagree with you and say that the fact that I wasn't paying attention to this match is because I had pizza.
Okay, Miguel.
Sean, were you paying attention to this match, or were you just like us, where you're kind of tuned out?
I kind of tuned out, but I really like the Real American.
I like both teams. That's why I'm kind of sad that I didn't even know who won it.
The best part of this match was Zeb Coulter's sign.
Oh, yes. One of the best defenses offense.
Yeah, and no sneaky something on the back, it said. I don't remember what it was exactly, but I love Zeb, man. He Dutch is awesome.
We the People's Garo are really quick.
They're telling people to use the hashtag We the People now whenever the Real Americans are in a match.
To be fair, for a heel tag team, they're fucking over like babyfaces sometimes.
And it took a while, but it got there. Like they and I'm kind of proud of WWE for sticking to their guns with this one. Like, they could have easily given up, released Jack Swagger, let Antonio Cesaro sit in obscurity for forever.
I think the only issue with the team is they lose way too much.
Yep.
Well, somebody's got to lose.
That's what fucking Titus O'Neil and Darren Young are. He isn't going to get any more big freaking love from TMZ that he's homosexual. That story's dead now. So
his 5 minutes of fame from that were long gone.
So, yeah, he's fine. You can job him out. Can't job Funkadactyls now. They're gone. You can job R-Truth and Xavier Woods out. There's plenty of people you can do.
What about the Matadors? Oh, no, wait, they're too over. You can't job them out.
Oh, yeah. What are they doing again? I'll lay.
Let's see. We had the rematch, between the Great Khali and Damian Sandow. Sergeant Slaughter wins the fan poll, comes out as the special guest referee. This time, Great Khali ends up getting the pin on Damian Sandow, but due to a little bit of chicanery, Damian Sandow had his foot on the rope. Sergeant Slaughter very obviously saw it, but decided not to make a thing about it. Continued the count, and Great Khali wins. Damian Sandow goes to attack Sergeant Slaughter, but Sarge ducks and catches Damian Sandow into the Cobra Clutch. And I can't believe I never made this connection before, but Sergeant Slaughter, big crossover star, not only in the WWE, but he is also a big name from G.I. Joe. He is a G.I. Joe. He's on the good guy's side. Yet, in wrestling, his finishing move is called the Cobra Clutch. Cobra, the name of the opposing side on G.I. Joe. How does that make any sense?
Because it's pro wrestling. Pro wrestling doesn't need to make sense.
Don't you think Hasbro would have, like, done something about this? Shouldn't it be the Joe Clutch?
That's
horrible name. That's why they didn't
what about
call
the, it. Well, how about the GI Clutch? That sounds good.
No, it doesn't. It sounds horrible. Cobra Clutch, two C's. It works.
Two K's.
Rajan Singh was back.
Oh, Rajan Singh was back. Nobody cares.
Yeah. That actually worries me. I think they brought him back because they intend to use Carly more.
He has been on TV a lot lately.
I don't know what logic you have for bringing Carly back. He's fucking abysmal as ever.
He really is. And if you want an Indian star, you got Jinder Mahal.
Don't they have another Indian giant anyway? Oh, maybe they're just building him up so this new Indian giant can come job him out.
Oh, James Baelish just messaged me. I also noticed the Cobra Clutch is similar to the Million Dollar Dream. I agree. They do look very similar. And for that matter, the Crossface Chicken Wing looks very similar as well.
Yeah, but if you don't have the Bob Backlund crazy eyes, it's not the same.
Well, if you don't have the Sergeant Slaughter bald head, it's not the same.
Sergeant Slaughter used to be my dad's favorite wrestler back in the day.
Really?
Yep.
Was he like...
Now he's dancing with the
Was
Greek
he
Ali.
Super pissed when he turned his back on America? Became an Iraqi sympathizer?
Probably. I can't remember my dad, so...
I just wish Sergeant Slaughter's music changed with the times and he had Team America as his theme song. I'd fucking pop for that every time.
So our next bit, we had Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman come out. Heyman talks about how old school isn't about parading old timers around. Old school is about there being one dominant figure. He talks about how Bruno Sammartino was a dominant figure of his time. Hulk Hogan was a dominant figure of his time. Steve Austin was a dominant. You know, you've heard the speech 1,000 fucking times. Eventually, Mark Henry comes out to interrupt. Brock makes short work of Mark Henry. I mean, he takes him down. Locks him into the Kimura lock, breaks his arm. Mark Henry rolls over. Not only did he break his arm, it looks like he broke his nose too. There's blood trickling down his face. Mark Henry done got fucked up. And it didn't take long.
Well, he's already beaten up. He ain't going to put up a fight this week.
As Lesnar is walking out, all proud of himself, though, we get a surprise. The Big Show's music hits. Big Show comes out. Kind of like the way he was walking out too. He had his hoodie on, he had his hands inside his hoodie, and he's just kind of walking like, yeah, what you gonna do?
What he looked like a do? Badass.
He did. And I think that's the first like Big Show's really looked like a badass like that in a long time.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, Big Show's out. What's his problem with Brock?
Well, maybe he's tired of Brock going around abusing his size. Maybe he's tired of him going around being a big bully.
You mean like the Big Show?
Big Show's not a big bully. He just has an ironclad contract.
Oh, well, he's not a big bully now, but 6 months ago, he was. And then 12 months before that, he was again. And then another 12 months before that, he was again.
Is that before or after he cried?
I'm afraid I don't remember these times. That's more than 3 months ago.
Oh, yeah, you're a wrestling fan. You're very fickle.
Indeed. Well, it looks like we got swerved. We're not going to be seeing Mark Henry against Big Show. Excuse me, Mark Henry against Brock Lesnar. We're going to be seeing Big Show against Brock Lesnar. Does this excite you guys a little bit more? I mean, the crowd was loving this. Actually, we didn't even mention the best part of it. Big Show gets into the ring and does this insane hip toss where Brock Lesnar just completely does a whole front flip right onto his head and shoulders, lands on the ring on the opposite side of the ring he was tossed from. He doesn't waste any time. He gets the fuck out, backs out. It was intense. I mean, I've never seen a crowd get so loud based on one hip toss, except for when Michael Strahan did one. That was way cooler.
Yeah. It was random as well. You know why I think it was such a big hip toss? They kind of missed their timing the first time they tried to throw, and they did that awkward stumble shit. So when he finally jumped, I think he ended up jumping with way more elevation than he planned and went flying, and it looked fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. So... That's what I call a botch gone right. That was fucking sweet. And Brock made Big Show look awesome. And Big Show looked like an absolute badass. It's nice to see him doing something other than stealing Daniel Bryan's Yes Chance.
Sean, I know you were a big hater throughout that whole run of Big Show being placed in what everybody felt was Daniel Bryan's rightful spot. Did you get excited about Big Show tonight?
Yeah, as long as we get a C-match like Survivor Series 2002, that was awesome. Remember that match? Just Brock Lesnar just throwing the Big Show like a ragdoll around.
Do you think
does Heyman turn again?
Oh, goodness. That really kind of begs the question, what kind of match are these guys going to have? I mean, they're obviously not going to have any kind of Mat Classic. Are they going to go to that MMA-style match that Brock Lesnar tries to pride himself on doing now?
God, I hope not.
Big Show's a better worker now than he was back then, in my opinion. I'm one of these. I know a lot of people say, oh, he's an older guy, but I think some of Big Show's best works come in his later days. You look at his matches, had some good ones with Daniel Bryan just on SmackDown, had some awesome ones with Sheamus. I love Show's work in these days, especially with his comeback as a babyface. It's one of the
strongest. Even had a good match with Del Rio.
Shit. Oh, God, Del Rio back tonight. Ugh, just reminded me. But, yeah, I'm actually up for this match. Two big guys going at it, and they're actually two big guys that can move around if they want to, so I'm all for it, man.
Oh, we had a Del Rio segment tonight, didn't we? I didn't even write it down.
I think that was you going, Del Rio. I'll remember to write it down. I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I think he had a match with Sin Cara. Sin Cara came out in purple, which is the first time he ever came out in purple. I was like, oh, cool, Sin Cara's it's done. That whole thing with Sin Cara, it's done.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. I was very excited at first. I was like, oh, it's my favorite segment of the night. Del Rio gets jumped out by Sin Cara again. And it never happened. They swerved me.
I went for a shit.
And he had some kind of speech afterwards. What did he say? Did he say he's going to try for the title again?
He's going to eliminate Batista. The Rumble.
Oh.
So basically, Del Rio cuts on January 20th. Del Rio comes out, bores the crowd. Batista comes out, beats the piss out of him, and then eliminates him at the Rumble too.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too. Other than the Del Rio talking part.
Yeah. Let's just skip to the part where Batista beats him up, and let's do that twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Three times if it's over.
We had a Divas tag match, the Bella Twins going against Alicia Fox and Oksana, and just a freaking miracle, Oksana manages to get the winning pin 2 weeks in a row. This time when one of the Bellas went for a second rope drop kick, completely missed. Oksana jumps for the pin really quickly, and 2 weeks in a row we hear this awful, terrible music. Something's got to change for this guy. They got to get her a new outfit that's more fitting for her body shape, and they need to get her better music if they're going to try to give her any kind of push.
I think the reason she won is Ted got her all loose before the match.
That was a thing.
I'm just letting that one sit there for a moment because it was that bad. Yeah. This match sucked. Another terrible Divas match. Not even worth talking anymore about. We already talked about the three-man band, too cool match. Talked about Bad News Barrett. No, oh, I think we pretty much hit everything on the show tonight. Is there anything else that stuck out to you guys you wanted to put out there?
No, it was really a lackluster show tonight, wasn't it?
It really was. Like, I can't believe we just went through everything that quickly. There really wasn't a lot of noteworthy things on there. Oh, you know what? I have a fan submitted question actually I wanted to pull up from our YouTube. Yes, Johnny Gibson submitted a question on our YouTube channel. It says, is the idea of Batista versus Taker off the table, do you think, or will it not work as it's a rematch? Steven, you want to take that one?
I think it's a wasted match for The Undertaker. Undertaker only has so many matches left for him, and at this point, a rematch with Batista, I don't see drawing very much, nor do I see it as something that the fans will want to see, at least not the good majority. Batista's got a whole bunch of different roles you can fit him in, both babyface and heel. For The Undertaker, there's certain guys you want to save for him at this point in his career. Maybe a Daniel Bryan, which I'm against, a John Cena, a Brock Lesnar. I'd be up for a CM Punk rematch before a Batista one, to be quite honest. The match wasn't bad that they had. I just don't want to see it again. It could work if promoted right. And I mean, no matter what, Undertaker's a huge name, so is Batista. People are going to watch it. I just think it'd be the wrong choice.
Sean, how about you?
I don't like Batista, so no. But yeah, I agree with Steven. I'd rather watch a CM Punk rematch against The Undertaker, or just save Undertaker for some big names like, I don't know, Brock Lesnar, or the Bryans, or the Cenas, or the Punks.
I just don't think... I don't think it'll work, not necessarily because it's a rematch. I think it's fine for you to rematch. I mean, let's not forget that majority of the last Undertaker matches were rematches. I mean, he fought Triple H twice after facing him before, shot Michaels for a second time. Even his match with CM Punk was a rematch from a major feud that he's had before. So, I mean, it's not like he's facing fresh people at this point. But I just think with Batista coming into this, I think you need to give him something fresher for life. And the only way you could do a match with him against Taker was if he was going to beat Undertaker, which absolutely not. He should not be the guy to break the streak. So put him in there with somebody else. Batista should be challenging for the title even, or just some other big name guy. You know, put him out there with Randy Orton, put him out there with Triple H, put him out there with John Cena, whoever you feel like it should be.
I'd be okay with him going against Cena, come back as a babyface, then do the heel turn, just because there's history with John Cena, and I loved their feud, to be quite honest. Yeah. Heel Batista is fucking awesome, and I'm so disappointed that we didn't get more of that. The fact that I know he's coming back as a babyface is really disappointing to me. I'd want to see him do a heel turn, and I pray that we get it and get that particular character back again, because I didn't get my fill of that.
Are we sure he's going to be a babyface?
Initially, yeah. I mean, they're already setting up Del Rio and Batista. So even if it's just for the first month, he's coming back as a babyface. He could turn afterwards, but initially, it's definitely going to be a babyface. And he's going to get a babyface pop when he returns, so it is what it is.
All right, we got a caller on the line. Let's bring him in on here once we get this thing to go. All right, caller from the 817. You're live on the Mega Powers Radio Raw post show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Brian Brain, Fort Worth. How you guys doing?
What's shaking, Brian? How'd you enjoy tonight's old school edition of Monday Night Raw?
I actually liked it probably a lot. I mean, it was awesome. Just, of course, Jake the Snake just.
You were
really
ranting about Jake the Snake earlier. You were super excited.
Really made my night because I wasn't expecting it. Nobody was. I mean, we kind of knew DDP was going to be there. We knew LO was going to be there. We knew pretty much everybody was going to be there. Jake the Snake was the shocker of the night. It was like, wow. To me, he was my favorite wrestler during that era of time period. I mean, to me, that was like, when I met him and all that, he was so awesome. He was, to me, that just made my night. It'd be like, wow.
It blew me away. I mean, when they were finishing up with a thing with Roman Reigns, and all of a sudden you just hear that music hitting. At first, I thought I was hearing it wrong, and my jaw just dropped, and I wasn't able to say anything. I had friends over. I had company while we were watching this, and they asked, what's going on? Who's that? And I couldn't even answer them. I was just in shock. My jaw was dropped. I was like, it's Jake. And then freaking Michael Cole says exactly what I'm thinking. I feel like I've just seen a ghost. And that's honestly how I felt as well.
Yeah. Realistically, a few years ago, he almost died. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so close to death.
A lot of people figured at this point in time, he would be dead. People are like, yeah, Jake the Snake won't survive the year.
Yeah, there was that time where we were like, he's really so far gone. And then I like to thank Diamond Dallas Page for saving him. And it's like, wow. I was like, when DDP was on there, the only thing I could think was the only thing better would be Jake the Snake tonight. And it was just like, so I would mark out so hard. And I did. I was like all over every page going, this is the greatest moment of the year. I mean, so far of 2014, it's like the match was good. I know it wasn't great, but that just really just blew my mind. Because I'm not looking forward to Batista. I'm not looking forward to Brock Lesnar. I'm looking forward to see if they're going to bring Jake the Snake in the Royal Rumble. I'm looking forward to, I don't know. I just, to me, it's like.
Does anybody care about Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns just got a big win.
I like Roman Reigns. But the thing is I'm bored with Batista and Brock Lesnar and those guys that. They had their time. It's time to bring up the new guys. It's time to
wait. The new era. You're saying it's time to bring up the new guys, but then you're saying that you want to see Jake the Snake? You can't have it both ways, man.
Let him have his moment. He's marking out, bro.
My problem is that there's two different eras. It's like, I want to see the old guys, but then there's just certain people that I'm just tired of seeing. I mean, I realistically don't even care to see Undertaker at WrestleMania because he's only around for one match. I want to see him all year. I miss the old Undertaker. I miss that stuff. I love wrestling with such a passion because I remember watching it so young and so long ago. Makes me seem old, but it's like some of these guys, Roman Reigns is good, CM Punk's great, Daniel Bryan's awesome, or Daniel Wyatt, excuse me. But I also, you know, I want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin. Does that make me bad? Because I also don't want to see Brock Lesnar and Batista, but I guess so.
Well, you know, it's all about who could still go, and you know, you're talking about how you want to see Undertaker all year. I mean, sure, that'd be nice, but I mean, it's part of time moving forward, and it's a sad thing, you know. And nobody wants to admit that we're all getting older, and everybody else is getting older, but that's what's happening. And the Undertaker is getting to that point where, just like every other cowboy, he's got to ride into the sunset. Yeah, he sure still got a few last hurrahs left in him, and the stage to do that is WrestleMania. That's where the Undertaker belongs.
Well, I just don't think the streak should ever be broken. Leave it intact. Let him retire intact. Whether it's 21-0, 25-0, whatever it is, whatever that final number is, let it be intact. That should be his and his alone.
Well, actually, that actually brings me to a question I got into the chat room. Mr. James Baylor submitted. He said, which WrestleMania do you think will be the Undertaker's last match? So, Brian, why don't you answer that first, man? When do you think The Undertaker will have his last match?
So this is 21, right?
He is 21-0 currently, I believe. He is already 21-0. When he beat CM Punk, that was 21-0.
Probably 35.
What?
I would say 35.
Are you saying he's going 35-0, or are you saying WrestleMania 35?
WrestleMania 35.
Okay.
So that would be like 26-0.
Okay. Okay, Steven, what about you? When do you think The Undertaker is going to hang up the boots?
When do I think he's going to? Whenever he decides he's had enough. I don't think he even has a date set in his head. Honestly, I think this year's the perfect time to end it. It's WrestleMania 30. I don't think he's going to be around for WrestleMania 40, so I think it's a big number. He should end it now against John Cena. I know that won't happen. Well, I'm pretty confident it won't happen. I can't say it definitely won't happen, but... I don't think he knows. I don't think WWE knows. I think he's just going to hang him up when he feels he physically can't do it anymore.
Sean, what about you, man? When do you think The Undertaker is going to wrap it all up?
When he's 25-1.
25-1. And who's going to be the one?
Seth Rollins.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Brian, what else do you like on Raw tonight, man? Any other returns get you excited?
Too Cool was awesome.
Yes.
Now I know why Jerry Lawler was sick. Though, I mean, him and his son really haven't been getting along for a while, so, you know, that could have something to do with his illness today.
Oh, that would be sad.
You know, I just see it as it is. It's, you know, I know they had a big falling out, like, last year, and his son didn't even visit him in the hospital after the heart attack, and they really just kind of, it was really something that happened off. You know, off key, and so it is sad because, you know, we all know that that's Jerry's son, and it's kind of, you know, bad, but he never was really around when his son was growing up. I mean, I know that happens a lot with wrestling, but, you know, it is what it is. Too Cool was cool. I think he should stick face all three of them, you know, had them all three sitting in the corner, and then stuck face all three at the same time, but DDP, the dance segment, always funny. Anytime Rod Simmons can say damn. New Age Outlaws look good. I still think they could go. I mean, why aren't they out wrestling every week? I mean, realistically.
Because they're old.
They still have some spunk.
They're old. They got gray hair. And wrinkly skin.
Right here? So does Flair, and he still wrestles.
Not in WWE, he don't.
Oh, that's true. But he's, well...
Just because he does doesn't mean he should.
Just doubly that, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he should have been wrestling 20 years ago, but that's something
you can still, see the Outlaws wrestle if you go to, like, your old high school's shows. They're around.
Hey, I like those high school shows. There's some good wrestling in that. Mm-hmm.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying that's where, if you want to see him, that's where you go. The high schools and the flea markets.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I know this.
Just like what Bad News Barrett was telling us about. So, Brian, why don't you tell us what your high point of tonight's Raw show and your low point of tonight's Raw was.
High point, Jake the Snake Roberts. Low point, not showing the swing. And no Summer Rae. Where was Summer Rae?
No Summer Rae and no Fandango, for that matter. Truly upsetting when you think about they're like a relic of old school with how old school their gimmick is.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they could have done Disco Inferno and Fandango Dance Off or something.
You think they're really going to dig out Disco Inferno?
Yeah, why not? It's old school Raw.
when was Disco Inferno ever on Raw? Yeah, I got you there.
That's a fair question, actually. Maybe during the switchover time period, you know.
Was Disco Inferno part of the invasion?
Obviously not long enough.
Yeah, I don't remember him even being part of the invasion. He might have been. It was all a bunch of like people I wouldn't remember the name of.
Yeah, I can't remember now. That's actually pretty funny.
All right, well, if anyone has an answer for that, they can give this into the chat room or call in. But, Brian, we got another call on the line, so I want to get them in. But we really appreciate you calling in, bro. Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, so we're going to bring on another caller here. We got a caller from 631 calling in. Caller from 631, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm James, and I'm calling from New York.
Hey, James, what's shaking, man? What'd you think about tonight's Monday Night Raw Old School Edition?
I actually think it was pretty good. I actually think they actually put on a pretty good show. They booked a lot of great matches, and the show's actually really good.
Well, it's good to have someone on who's positive. What were some of the parts you liked? Was it the Legends returns, or did you appreciate more of just the modern stuff that they had?
Well, the Legends return, definitely, because there are many names like that I used to watch when I was younger, and to see them come back, it's just good to see them.
What about Jake the Snake? Was that the most shocking for you? Were you jumping out of your seat, or were you just kind of like, meh?
Well, I wasn't expecting Jake Roberts to retire. I mean, I've been hearing rumors all over the internet saying, oh, Jake Roberts is saying he wants to return at the Royal Rumble, but to actually see him return at Old School, I wasn't expecting that. And to actually bring Damian the Snake with him, I know that's his gimmick, but I mean, I wasn't expecting anything.
Yeah, I would have thought that Snake would have been retired by now. Like, can't believe that thing's still rolling. So what did you think about, let's see here, what about like Two Cools return for a match against Three Man Band? Did you appreciate seeing the dancing again?
Yeah, especially because the only time Scotty Too Hotty returned in 2012 was at NXT. It wasn't with the rest of them. Like, Grandmaster Sex, they returned probably a year before whatever to do a Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole thing. And then Rikishi returned with his sons in a tag match. But to actually see Too Cool team up again in over, like Michael Cole said, 13 and a half years on Raw, it's fantastic to see Too Cool return.
It was a blast, and I'm glad they used the old music. Well, at least they started using the old music before they got that banging it, banging it, banging it, banging it. I hate that song. So we got a new match lined up for Brock Lesnar. It looks like he was originally going for Mark Henry. What do you think about him being lined up with Big Show now?
Well, that's actually a really good angle, what they're going with. I honestly think so.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's something that we've seen years ago, do you think that Big Show could still pull something awesome with Brock Lesnar?
Well, with what I saw, like, the only clip I saw probably is the only match. I'm not too sure. The only clip I saw is back on the old SmackDown where they broke the ring. Mm. But honestly, Big Show and Brock Lesnar, they're good working together, but I don't see anything like any big high spots in any of their matches.
No, I certainly wouldn't expect that. I'm sure Brock Lesnar could still pick him up and throw him around a little bit, but probably not as much as back in the day. I have a feeling this is going to be a lot more, not so much throwing each other, probably throwing things at each other. That's probably what's going to happen a lot in this match.
Yeah.
Can El Torito come out and just throw El Torito away to each other?
That would be great. Yeah, like one person grab El Torito and one person grab Dylan, and they can just like bash each other with him.
Dylan.
So, how about the Daniel Wyatt? What do you think the future is going to be for him? Do you think he's going to continue with this Wyatt family for a while, or do you think this is only going to last a couple weeks?
Probably, if anything, I'm going to give it, give or take, a month and a half, and then they're just going to drop it. Because Daniel Bryan, honestly, he's better working alone than he is working with, let's say, the Wyatt family. Because, think about it, Daniel Bryan is nothing like the Wyatt family. I mean, he's a better, he draws the crowd more. The Wyatt family are a heel team, so of course their gimmick is going to be to push away the fans, but...
Oh, they burnt him out, though. I mean, when the Wyatt family first came in, people were buzzing about them so hard. People were excited, like, oh my gosh, these videos are so awesome. They got this kick-ass theme song. And then by like 3 weeks later, people were like, fuck the Wyatts.
Yeah, it's like, we've had enough.
They've redeemed themselves a little. I mean, they've got away from the fuck Del Rio hate that we normally dish out, but it was a rough moment for a while.
I don't know. I'm going to try to keep a little bit more open-minded because, like I said, when I first saw the loss that they had earlier in the night, I was pretty upset about it, but they redeemed itself a little. I just need to see how this whole thing plays out. As with any other thing in wrestling, you can never jump to conclusions too soon. Sometimes they do things you might not like at first for a reason that might make a lot more sense when it all comes together in the final package. So, speaking of the final package, James, let me ask you, what was your high point and your low point throughout the entire Monday Night Raw tonight?
Well, my high point would have to be the last match, the main event, CM Punk versus Roman Reigns.
Mm.
And my low point would have to be the Bella Twins versus Alicia Fox and Oksana.
Totally fair. Totally fair. All right, James, Happy New Year, man. Appreciate you calling in. Have a good night. All right, we appreciate anyone who's calling in. We got a good little chunk there. We're probably going to start wrapping things up here, but you got about a minute. You can pop in if you still want to, everybody. Area code 760-512-7247. Also going to do it with the Skype little button that you can click up there or into the chat room. All right, guys, let's ask you, Steven, your high point, your low point for tonight's Raw.
My high point was it's a mix between two. The two cool match was fucking awesome, but I just loved watching the New Age Outlaws come out and the fans be so into it during the introductions. For me, for an old school role, that was a piece of history, which I was really happy to be reminded of. And that's what these shows are all about, nostalgia, man. So that was a lot of fun for me. As far as my low point, the Divas match was bad enough where I was going online and watching Jim Cornette videos. So. As I'm wont to do when I'm very bored, so they got me Jim Cornette bored. So Davis gets the low point.
Sean, your high point and your low point.
High points: the Too Cold tag match, the Roman Reigns Superman punch on CM Punk, and no Jerry the King Lawler on commentary.
Woof.
Even though it might be ill.
I'm glad he's okay. I'm glad Jerry Lawler's okay. I wish no ill will on him. I much prefer JBL and Michael Cole alone. I'll just say that.
Yeah, put them on the shelf.
And yeah, definitely agree.
My low points were the Sergeant Slaughter dancing with the Great Khali, for fuck's sake. Alberto Del Rio, just fuck him. And the Divas tag match.
All right, my high point, I am going to actually go with the Brock Lesnar Big Show segment, if not for anything else, but because of that toss that Big Show did under Brock Lesnar, where he just did a complete flip right onto his head and shoulders. I was just blown away by the agility that Brock Lesnar actually showed in that one little moment. Still showing a lot of explosiveness, and I think with the power that these two men can bring with each other, because that's a problem with Brock Lesnar's matches. He's very rarely matched in power. Not even John Cena or Triple H could have done that to him, and of course CM Punk wasn't going to. Maybe Big Show's finally the guy that can do that. We could see Brock Lesnar really be tossed around a little bit himself. My low point, I think I'm going to agree with Sean, man. Seeing Sergeant Slaughter coming out there with his shaved head and the bow tie and then trying to dance around like an old man, I didn't feel very good watching that, I got to say.
Someone died inside you a little.
You know what's funny? You go back and you watch during the late 80s, Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter, and these guys looked like old men then with their crown baldness. You know, uh-huh. Like they only had the hair on the back and sides of their head. And now it's 30 years later, almost. Oh, my God.
It was a weird period of time, man. Everyone, no one looked
young. You know what? This is a problem, because this show and all the other Raw old schools did it, or didn't do this, I should say. Those old, the point of the show is to make you feel nostalgic and have fun remembering the old times. That's what the point of these shows is supposed to be.
They don't want to make you feel like old yellow.
Yes, that, and that's the problem. This show didn't make me feel fun and nostalgic. This show has just made me feel old. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're definitely right. It also reminds you of how good things used to be. And I'm not saying that the product's totally bad now. I'm just saying you always have fond memories from when you're younger.
I got to say, at the least, I love the sets. I love them having the old Raw letters, the red, white, and blue ropes, the blue rig aprons. I love all that. I'm glad they bring that out.
This is something minor, but I don't like. Do you remember the initial first ever old school Raw? They actually used the WWF logo.
Yes, they did.
They literally did. They went all out. Then you felt like the second one, they got lazy. This one felt like they barely went to any effort in comparison to the first post-Raw, not post-Raw show, old school Raw. That first one, if you go back and watch it, they really did try, and you don't get that feeling for
this
one.
No, I wonder how long ago they really even decided they were going to do this old school Raw gimmick. A lot of people, I believe one of our callers brought it up, were bringing up the fact that they had heavy competition for the ratings tonight. They had a big football game to go against. So they had to scramble to try to make some kind of big thing. If you notice, the last, is it three, maybe even four Raws have had some type of gimmick attached to it. Last week was New Year's. The one before that was the Slammies. And I think the one before that was something else. I can't remember. But they didn't announce anything big for next week. But then is it the one after that or the one after that one that we get Batista back? So they're really trying to pack this winter months here that they're going against football, try to keep the ratings in their favor. I guess we'll see how that works out for them. I just wish if you're going to do something like this, you do it right, you know, because otherwise it just comes off upsetting.
If you're going to make it a win, make it a win.
All right, guys, let's close this out here. Sean, what do you got to say to the world before we go out of here?
The best defense is offense. So hit me over to the Twitter, SeanC2K37.
That was good. Steven, let's see you follow that up.
I ain't going to compete with that, but I am going to tell you what I got going on. You can tune in every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Unanimous Decision MMA over on the Dream Elite Radio Network. We're going to be talking about the best fights and biggest stories of 2013, plus who's the biggest star and who's going to have the biggest story in 2014. We've got a whole bunch of young talent coming up, a load of fighters that have made their name in 2013, and the future's bright for a lot of talent, especially with Anderson Silva and George St. Pierre fading away. This Sunday at 62
away?
MMA. Hey, did you hear what Anderson Silva's favorite movie is? Footloose. That was terrible. This Sunday, Addicted to Anime returns to the airwaves on Mega Powers Radio. We're going to be reviewing Sword Art Online. It's basically an anime where a bunch of people get trapped inside an MMORPG via this strange headgear. The headgear is removed, they die. If they die in the game, they die in real life. And the only way to get out is to beat the game. And of course, you can keep checking Fanboys Anonymous for anything I write. I've just put up a YouTube Spotlight article on gaming rapper Damble. He does a lot of fun, different raps on Skyrim and various other video games, politics. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at SteveWago and at UDMMA to get any updates from me.
All right, everyone. We appreciate y'all listening in to the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Be sure to join us every week following the conclusion of Raw, immediately following the conclusion of Raw at Mega Powers Radio on MegaPowersRadio.com. You can also listen to us after the fact if you can't join us because it's late or you're just busy on a Monday night, whatever it may be. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course YouTube.com/MegaPowersRadio. We are also hosting the show on SmarkOutMoment.com. That's always going to have an extra little article attached to it, so you might find extra things like show notes or images or anything we need to keep with it. So it's a good source to go to, SmarkOutMoment.com. And of course, please join us live every week. You could talk to us. You could listen in. It's always a lot of fun here on Mega Powers Radio. We'll see y'all next week here on the NPR Raw Post Show. For Stephen Huego, for Sean Walker, I'm Mike Payton. Have a good night, everyone.